In the news of late, there has been everything alien, from NASA's renewed interest in looking for technosignatures and biosignatures emanating from exoplanets, to SETI and new ways of searching for signs of intelligent alien life in the universe, to of course the debate about the UAP phenomenon and what might be responsible for it. It's anyone's guess if we will ever find any unambiguous signs of alien life. Could happen tomorrow, or may never happen. But the big question is, what happens if we do find proof of intelligent alien life? Unintelligent alien life has already happened, and it turned out to be an error. Two examples of this were the labeled release experiment on the Viking missions to Mars in the 1970s. These experiments showed that something was metabolizing nutrients added to the soil in the experiment, constituting a detection of microbial life on the surface of Mars. This was called into question, however. It may have been a chemical rather than biological process, but that's never been completely settled. Still, it's hard to envision Martian microbes living in such a harsh radiation environment. But then, we've found microbes living in our nuclear reactors here on Earth, and there are bacteria on Earth somehow adapted to survive astonishingly high doses of radiation, to the point that we give them weighty superhero muscle names like Deinococcus radiodurans and Thermococcus gamma tolerans. The other was the finding of microbe-like fossils inside clays found in meteorites believed to be of Martian origin. These structures are also still in question. They could be the remnants of microbes, or they could be totally geologic in nature and just look like microbe fossils. But not exactly even then. They are far smaller than any such traces of life here on Earth, meaning that if they are microbes, they are miniature ones that Earth has no analog of. Open question to this day. But this one prompted something extraordinary in that the discovery was announced at a news conference by then US President Bill Clinton. It has already happened that the US government has announced the detection of alien life publicly and at the highest levels, only to be called into question by the scientific community. The US government has shown itself on that occasion to be so interested in revealing the discovery of alien life that it had a president do it prematurely at best and in error at worst. That aside, following these announcements came many other hints of the presence of potential alien microbes at Venus, Mars, Enceladus, and Europa. None yet conclusive, but hints abound. And what was the public reaction? People like us said, neat, let's investigate further. Others shrugged and had assumed that there was life out there from the start. And still others were completely indifferent and uninterested, and had other matters to be concerned about. What didn't happen is utter pandemonium. But what of the discovery of intelligent alien life? Would society collapse with the announcement? The bottom line here is that this too has already happened in error. In the early 20th century, it was common household belief that Mars was inhabited by an intelligent alien civilization, building huge networks of canals observed by Giovanni Schiaparelli and Percival Lowell. At this time, Venus too was considered inhabited at least by steamy jungles of plant life beneath the cloud layers. Again, there was no utter pandemonium, and the biggest worry was if the Martians ever tried to invade, culminating with the War of the Worlds broadcast by Orson Welles that may have set off panic in those that believed the broadcast was real, though it's now thought that the incident has been embellished and the effect on some of the public was not as great as has been said in the past. Another thing that's been overstated is that the discovery of alien life would undermine the world's religions. This is a misguided assumption, because when people believed there were Martians, it had absolutely no effect whatsoever on any of the religions. This is because most of the world's religious texts either outright allow for the existence of alien life, or simply don't address the matter at all, leaving it open. In most cases, one would have to misinterpret their religious texts to have a negative reaction. And if alien life is discovered in the wrong circumstances, such as an invasion, it's likely to fill the world's houses of worship rather than empty them. Only if the aliens have a religion of their own could unpleasantness ensue. The holy book of Glorkhan the Absolutely Gorgeous is not welcome on this world, especially if the intent is to uplift and proselytize to Earth's plant life. But in reality, no small portion of the public already believes that alien life probably exists. The assumption that we are not alone due to the vastness of space and the sheer numbers of galaxies and stars in the universe is a common one. And there are no small number of people that have attributed the UAP phenomenon to alien life. In short, the public is now, and has been for some time, accustomed to the idea of alien life. So what happens when it's finally found? This has been a question that has featured prominently within SETI. What happens when you find a radio signal that can be demonstrated to be of intelligent alien origin? This could happen at any time. Indeed, I've covered a number of signals over the years that were candidates, and no doubt many candidates and perhaps a true unambiguous detection lie in our not-so-distant future. And what to do has been well thought out within the SETI community. The SETI Institute maintains just such a list of protocols, link in the description below. Now, before we get into those, there is the inevitable question that is always asked on this matter. Will the government allow news of this sort to break, or would it do everything it could to cover up the detection of an alien radio signal? The reality is, the government has no choice or say in the matter. The reasons behind that statement are many. The first is that it's not illegal to look at the sky. Anyone can build a radio telescope and do SETI searches. And indeed, there are amateur SETI observers out there doing this. As of the making of this video, for example, in August of 2021, Jupiter is prominent in the night sky. With some chicken wire, a copper loop antenna, and a shortwave radio, you can set up a rudimentary radio telescope and listen to the radio signals naturally emitted by Jupiter. They sound something like whooshing sounds or ocean waves breaking, and the funny thing is, there's no way for the government or anyone else to know you were passively picking up radio signals from space, albeit natural ones. Another reason that the secret could not be kept is because SETI is international. It's not likely that a team in China or Russia is going to comply with a US government request to keep something secret, or vice versa. It's no secret that the governments of this world do not always see eye to eye. And the idea of a collective secret regarding a distant radio signal from an alien civilization doesn't seem likely. Rather, it's bragging rights for whoever picks it up first. But there's a caveat here. More on that in a bit. And indeed, the cat's already out of the bag. The reason we know about the WOW signal or BLC-1 or any of the other candidate signals I've covered on this channel is because the government didn't cover them up. Indeed, the only thing the US government has ever done in regards to SETI is yank its public funding at the behest of a senator that thought looking for little green men was a waste of taxpayer money. Up until recently, with the renewed interest in technosignatures, the government flat out ignored SETI for decades. So here are SETI's protocols on what happens if a signal is detected in a nutshell. The first is to look and find a signal. Once a candidate is found, then comes verifying it across multiple teams. One team sees something, tells the others across the world to point their radio telescopes at the candidate's signal, and then openly discuss and debate whether it is indeed a signal of alien origin. As far as the public are concerned, here an explanation of the RIO scale used in SETI is worthwhile. In 2001, the RIO scale was advanced as a way to tell the public how certain SETI scientists are about a detection and how important it is. The scale runs from 0 to 10, with 0 being nothing to report at all, and 10 being very high significance and likelihood to be something of alien origin. When something is detected and confirmed, and the investigators consider the signal credible and real, the protocol within SETI is to tell the public and inform the Secretary General of the UN completely openly, and make the data related to the signal open as well to the scientific community. It's possible that this may all happen without informing any government before the news goes public. And then it's time to watch that signal 24/7 and record any data possible from it. But here's where it gets a bit ambiguous. Science fiction has always painted a contact scenario as a message that we can decipher from an alien civilization saying hello. While that could happen, it's also possible that we'll simply pick up someone's radar that contains no information and could conceivably constitute all we will ever know about that civilization. What are the aliens like? Well, they had radar. So then comes a very big question. Do we contact them? This is the contentious subject of METI, Messaging Extraterrestrial Intelligence. So think of this. We pick up a radio signal of alien origin that we don't understand but know is technological in nature. What do we do? Do we leave it at that and not push the matter further, or do we actively send a message to the aliens? This is problematic, firstly, due to distances. They could be over 100 light years away or more, so for both sides, communication times are very long, and the energy we'd need to put into such a signal is quite high, though doable. But should we blow our cover? There are arguments to be made for and against actively trying to contact an alien civilization, but these arguments require some assumptions, things we do not or cannot yet know. The argument for contacting aliens relies on the assumption that aliens would be friendly and interested in good relations at best, or would be aloof or not understand our message and we never hear back. Either way, the aliens would be at interstellar distances, and it doesn't seem likely that they would expend the energy, time, and effort to ever come here and pose a threat. The benefits of this could be immeasurable. The aliens may have technologies far in advance of our own, and they might gift it to us. Presuming, of course, we could decode the message and understand the plans, which is a big if, changing human society overnight. There could be all manner of advanced scientific knowledge sent, such as a more complete scientific picture of the universe than we currently have. They could send knowledge of even more alien civilizations out there that we might also contact and maintain a sort of galactic internet or relay system. And it also depends on the signal itself. If the signal is a deliberate contact signal directed to Earth, then the aliens may already know we're here, or at least that life is here, given that Earth has been exhibiting biosignatures for billions of years, especially if we can decode the message and it seems benign. In this case, a response signal might be perfectly reasonable with nothing to lose. But it could also be a very bad idea to send out a signal. It's more probable that if we detect an alien radio signal, it's going to be unintentional, perhaps something to do with their own internal communications, or as I mentioned before, radar. If a signal like this can be decoded, it may reveal that the aliens are at war with each other, or another species. This could also come as other types of technosignatures, such as weaponized Dyson swarms. In this case, it's better to just be as quiet as we can and watch and stay out of it. And there is another risk here. While a METI signal intended for a friendly but distant civilization may seem like a good thing to do, it's always possible that someone else is watching and may be eavesdropping on signals sent to the friendly alien civilization. This could lead a predatory civilization to our doorstep, and we would not know a thing about it until it was too late. Then there are two other types of scenario that may present very different outcomes to communication. The next is the Dark Forest scenario, where a signal is detected from a probe or invasion fleet while it's en route from their home system to here. This is a rather spooky prospect because our best candidate signal to date, the WOW signal, may have been of this type. The most recent calculation done by discoverer Jerry Eamon places the WOW signal just above the 1420 MHz hydrogen line, a major target frequency for SETI because it's the frequency at which hydrogen emits radio, and all civilizations doing science would very likely know of it, making for a natural place on the dial to put a contact signal. It's uncertain why the WOW signal was slightly shifted up, however. That may have been intentional on the part of the aliens, but it could also correspond to a blue shift. If that's the case, then whatever emitted WOW was traveling slowly towards us, about 10 kilometers per second, which is slower than some of our own spacecraft. Once again, do we really want to communicate with a probe heading our way? We might have to, if for no other reason than to try to determine its intentions and what will happen once it gets here. Or should we simply be quiet and build a battery of space weaponry? And that brings us to the final type of scenario. If the probe is within our star system with us. A lot of thought has been put into this, starting with John von Neumann's concept of self-replicating probes, but also variants of that idea that include Bracewell, Benford, and Berserker probes that could be stationed in the solar system. The Benford probe concept is where a probe from a civilization from a passing star in any of the thousands of close stellar encounters the solar system has seen has already entered the solar system when the stars were close, thus defeating the distance question. A Berserker probe is a probe designed to seek out and destroy all life in the galaxy. Since we're still here, those seem a bit unlikely to exist. And finally, there is the Bracewell probe concept. This is a communications probe originally envisioned in 1960 by Ronald Bracewell. This is a probe that may or may not be self-replicating, that sits in a star system and waits dormant until a civilization that might arise in that system gets to a certain level of technological ability. When that happens, perhaps through the discovery of radio or nuclear detonations, then it wakes up and begins communicating with us. This could be through repeating signals back to us at a delay to announce its presence. There is a candidate for this, by the way, in the form of the long-delayed radio echo phenomenon, or LDEs. The Bracewell probe then might transmit whatever information the alien civilization wishes to convey to us, and would likely then transmit any information it's collected on us back to the home world at the speed of light. While this is still slow communication, it does give a significant advantage in communication times. Here, because the probe is so close, communication times are short, and it's almost automatic whenever it deems it to be time to make contact. Such a probe may also function as a von Neumann 3D printer and print out other probes to explore other star systems or print out probes to take a closer look at us, perhaps even within our own atmosphere. And that brings us to the closest possible form of alien communication, inside our own atmosphere. While I am a skeptic on the matter of UAPs, I want some solid data above and beyond anecdotes before I'll pin them on an alien civilization, but I'd be absolutely remiss if I ignored recent developments such as the Nimitz affair, where the claim by the military personnel is that the object was actively jamming their radar. That sounds like a human nation-state's technology to me, but if it's not, then our first known communication with an alien civilization was a radar jam, which is a hostile act if it were being done by other humans. If it was done by aliens, then it's anyone's guess as to what they meant by it. I'm not sure what it would mean if our first detection of an alien radio signal was by an F-18 instead of a radio telescope, but it strikes me as something we need to figure out no matter what. Anything otherwise seems irresponsible if indeed jamming was occurring regardless of the origin. And here we get to the question of protocols again. How does one announce the discovery of a von Neumann-type probe in the solar system? Again, the government doesn't have much to do with that, and it would likely be by scientists openly announcing it under the SETI protocols. But if it were in the atmosphere with us, then it would be a different story if first contact were made. Up until relatively recently, SETI was mainly a concern of astronomy. Here it's a different field, atmospheric science, and very human data collection equipment, such as military aircraft. There the issue moves to diplomacy and figuring out how to communicate face-to-face with the alien civilization, which would presumably be a machine rather than biological, though it could in principle print out a biological being, maybe even one identical to a human. With close contact of that nature, as the movie Arrival beautifully illustrated, it would be difficult but not impossible to learn to communicate as you have more tools for direct communication than you do with a distant radio signal. Even better if the Bracewell probe has already done the work for you, has been watching for centuries, and already understands human languages and communication. But there's also the question of whether the public would be told, or the whole thing kept secret. This depends on several factors. If it's detected by civilians, then there's not much the government can do. Upload your footage to YouTube. If collected by government, the first question is, does it compromise national security? It makes no sense to reveal the capabilities of instrumentation and methodology used against earthly threats to reveal the existence of an alien civilization watching us, presumably for benign scientific purposes. You can do that when the instruments are declassified, or let some civilian project do it like the Galileo Project. The second is, does it compromise national intelligence in the sense of whether the government is trying to figure out what the motives and capabilities of the aliens are? This involves the speculative technologies of very advanced civilizations. It is within the realm of plausibility that a civilization could be so advanced as to be able to print out biological organisms. If you could 3D print out something indistinguishable from a human, yet is an alien, then you have a very big potential problem indeed. Even worse, if it is aware of entire areas of science that we are not. At that point, no one would know who is an alien and who is a human. The two could be indistinguishable other than motives. In that case, public ignorance is bliss. Otherwise, people would be at each other's throats. But it pays to remember that an alien civilization having a presence here remains highly unlikely for a number of reasons. They are probably not here, and the explanations lie in a mixed bag of other things, including other unknowns. But it's certainly worth investigation and open discussion in light of recent events regarding UAP. It may be irresponsible if we do otherwise. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently wondering about the probe on its way to the solar system scenario. What if it pulls a Rama and is just passing through, and the only radio message we get from it is hi diddly ho as it heads off for parts unknown? We'd have built a giant space laser defense system for nothing. though I'm sure we'd find something to do with it. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.